Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Acts tonight. We're going to be in chapter 19, where pretty much a lot of this has started. The church has started. I want to talk to you tonight about problems will arise in churches. There is no perfect church. Problems will arise. Problems will arise in many different ways, fashion, forms, shapes. Problems arise against and in the church. It just happens. And what happens is people want to just pick up their luggage and move to another church. We need to remember one thing. I want you to really understand. I want you to grasp in this next year is you need to love the church. Okay, church isn't the church is the bride of Christ. We need to love her. That is the overall church, but also we need to love our church here, New Life. And if you don't like something, you need to speak up. If you got this is the part where you need to pray for the church, you need to do that. And I want to share some scripture with you tonight that the problems do arise. Sometimes it's easily fixed and things are worked through and people do what they're supposed to do, and it's a good thing. And so I'm going to read here in just a few verses here at the first part. In Acts chapter 19, it says in verse 1, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. And he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' So they said to him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said to them, 'In what then were you baptized?' So they said, 'Into John's baptism.' Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began to speak in tongues and prophesied.'" And so that was a piece there. So what we see here in this part here, there is this church at the beginning, and they followed the Lord the way they were supposed to. They were baptized into John's baptism of being repentance. But now the Holy Spirit has come. All of those things, Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection has already happened. Holy Spirit's already came, day of Pentecost. And so there's this thing of baptism. And I want to tell you right now, there are some people out here to believe that you need to get, if you've been baptized, then it doesn't mean anything until you've been baptized by the Holy Spirit. Now there's people out, there's groups out there that believe that. And so they'll say that your baptism is null, it doesn't work, you've got to be baptized in the Spirit. Well, Jesus said that too. He says, "All authority in heaven has been given to me, in heaven and on earth." That's what he said. "Go therefore, make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." But there are many that believe that you just need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so what happens with that is it begins to be very charismatic, all those things. Everything becomes touchy-feely and all that. And it gets a really scary place that we are, that you don't want to be at. You need to understand, if you've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, okay? You don't need to revisit that. People say, it amazes me so many want to say, "Hey, were you baptized in the Holy Spirit?" to the place where you need to be baptized and it's separate. There are churches that says, if you've been baptized, you need to be baptized in a separate baptism to the Holy Spirit. But Jesus says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, okay? It's the Trinity, okay? So don't get, what was great with these people is they said, we didn't know that, so they followed Paul in the beliefs and in that doctrine, and they did it so, and things were good, okay? So people did what they were supposed to do. Now I want to move right down there. It goes on. It says, now, there were 12 in all, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, in verse 8. Reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this he continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So what I want to share with you here is, as he's sharing in the synagogue, there's a group of people, there's some people that got their hearts became hardened. When your heart is hard, I'm going to tell you, you need to go away and get it worked out with God. Whether you go away from where you are and into the altar, you need to go away and work it out, because if you don't and your heart is hard, it will move forward amongst the people. You'll get a heart hard and you'll begin to speak against the pastor. You'll begin to speak against, being negative. You'll speak negatively about the church, and you'll begin to be dividing the believers, and you will be a tool of the devil. It's just truth. Okay? Hardened hearts need to be softened. Hardened hearts. If you get a hardened heart towards someone in the church, and this church has had people with hardened hearts, listen, you are going to fight the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit wants you to repent. You're going to fight against the Holy Spirit and His works. And when someone is blessed, you're going to get angry about it. You're going to get angry about it. Because when your heart is hardened, you don't want to be around joyful Christians. You don't want to be around those who God is His blessing. And you'll know that because you yourself will not be and feel blessed. And so there was a group of these people that they did not believe but spoke evil in the way of the multitude. Okay, they spoke evil in the way of their group, their church team. So they spoke negatively. And they were hardened hearts. And Paul just... I don't want to fight that right now. That's not the battle I want to fight. So he moves on and he goes to another place, and it continues for 2 years and begins to grow and grow and grow. But there's always seems to be moments in time in churches where hearts get hard. And I want to tell you, it's when our hearts get hard, it's usually because of jealousy and envy, those kind of things that get our hearts hard. They didn't pick me. They didn't choose me. Why didn't they choose me? Or somebody said something that offended me. So my heart gets hardened toward them. And that's not godly character. So we have to work through that. We have to work through that part in the church that our hearts don't get hard. Okay? All right? So in the church, things still get crazy sometimes. And in verse 11, it gets kind of really, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. God did some things with Paul that, I mean, he did things with the other guys as well and through some other people. But what he did with Paul was just extraordinary. It says, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick. So they go up there and wipe the handkerchief on his body, or have him pray, whatever, have him touch it, and the diseases left and the evil spirits went out of them. So it's just, you know, whatever Paul was doing, it's like the Lord was just all over him, and wherever he was touching, people were healed, and demonic was coming out, and even the clothes that he had and the handkerchiefs he'd have, and people would take one and he'd give one away, and they'd take it and run it to another town and heal somebody. It's just, it was just different. And Paul just did a miraculous, God did some just unusual things with Paul and miracles. But people want to mimic that. You know, today, every once in a while, every few years, I get a piece of paper get an envelope in the mail. I don't know if you got one. And you can pull it out and there's this big old paper thing, and you put it, it's like almost like a mat. You can lay it out there on your floor, and it just tells you to pray. And this is a praying mat. I've even got handkerchiefs that 50 people prayed over before in the mail, and all these things. And it was always, you're going to get a miracle. And there's always the kicker was, and send your $25 into the mail. Send your $50. Send your donation now. And you want that double blessing, you'll send it within the next 5 days or 7 days, and you'll be doubled, and your blessings will be seven times fold and all that. And so people are taking these scriptures and they're turning them and twisting them into what is not supposed to be. But people will say, they wouldn't do it if people didn't send money. We're very, very ignorant at times. People can be very, very ignorant. And we can just, because people are desperate. People are desperate. Someone told me once and said, I got to get to Chicago. I got to get to Chicago. I said, why are you so frantic? I got to get to Chicago. Why? Because Benny Hinn's there and I need a healing. His bleeding hands there, and I need a healing. This was a special time in history, and these concepts and these things, these scriptures, yes, we can use them, but we need to remember, doesn't mean because we don't have, we're not experiencing unusual miracles because we don't have faith. No. God chooses the things that He wants to do at times. But people got a little bit twisted up, and they watched Paul do things, and here we find some individuals that want to go out and kind of do some of those things as they see. In verse 13, it says, then some of the itinerant kind of gypsies, traveling Jews, kind of like gypsies, they go from one place to the other, and they were exorcists. They were exorcists and took it upon themselves to call in the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Now, in the church today, you're not going to have churches talk about demonic, and you might have churches talk about Satan, and they might say the devil in some scriptures, but they're not going to get into the deeper things of it. Not meaning you need to. You only need to when you need to. But these individuals took it in and they said, oh, we are traveling and we're coming through. Hey, we want to do that. So they want to go around and they're going to start trying to exorcise and do exorcisms with all kinds of people. And they're going to do that. And they're just going to do it in the name of Jesus, on the name that Paul uses. But the Bible gives us a story of how some of that even happened. It says, also there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. He did this too. And the evil spirit answered. So the seven sons of the priest come in there, and they're going to do an exorcism. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overpowered them, all seven of them, and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. What I want to share with you there is this. Be careful what you get yourself involved in when it gets in those areas. We got to be careful. Don't go looking for demonic. Don't go looking for it because you just might find it. And when you find it, you need to be before. You need to have been prayed up. You need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. And a lot of things that need to be right in key. Because if not, they're going to eat you up and they're going to tear you to pieces. Now, they may not tear you up like this, but they'll tear you up in your family. They'll tear you up all over the place. Because you just can't use God Christ's name like you can your credit card or cash or pick the keys up and drive your car whenever. You can't do it that way. We need to remember, if we have Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Some people are doing it and they want to use it and exercise it as some type of commodity, as some type of power that they can purchase. As we've even seen in Acts where someone asked if they could buy the Holy Spirit power. And they were moved and people saw it and thought it was a show. But it's not a show. It's not at all. And people began to believe in this, and God's been doing great things, and through this church, Paul is doing things, and Apollos and all them, but something is beginning to brew, and he goes on, he moves on, and he's in this, so he sent him into Macedonia. Two of them, though, was ministered to him, and Timothy and Esdras, but he himself stayed in Asia for a time, and about that time, in verse 23, those arose a great commotion about the way. Now a crowd. This is where I want to spend the rest of my time. There is crowds today in America that are assembling over here and over here. And they're doing things over here. It's getting very political and all those things. Scripture tells us about those things. Let me tell you, Satan is not concerned about your life. He's not concerned that he gets certain ways. All he is wanting to do is tear apart. Teared down. He doesn't want anyone to become president. He doesn't care who becomes president as long as they are not God-believing and God-fearing. He doesn't care. He'll work in every group and he'll work against one group and work them against another. We're going to see this here in Scripture, that they begin to do this thing because what's happening is Christianity is rising. Christianity is rising. I just spent, this is why I was late. I was talking to an individual who said, I am so glad I'm out of Huntington. I'm so glad I'm out of Huntington. Fought a drug problem for a long time. And she said, I'm so glad I'm out of Huntington. I've never been to a place that feels so dark. And I said, well, you know, some of the people you're running with too, you know. But she said, there doesn't feel like there's any hope. There's no encouragement in the community. There's no pull together in the community. It's just everybody's out on their own. And so even the churches, they don't get along well. They just bash. There's so much conflict. And I got out and I moved into another town and I actually could sleep and I just felt peaceful. I felt peaceful. And I'm not saying Huntington's all like that. There's some great people in Huntington and there's some good churches in Huntington. But there is a lot of darkness here. There is a lot of darkness here. You know, I know a lot of pastors here in this community. I do. I know a lot of pastors. I wish I knew them better. I know a lot in Fort Wayne. I know some other communities as well. But the churches in Huntington, they're all declining. I'm going to be honest with you. 90% of them are declining. And they're declining fast. Or they're plateaued, which means they're not doing really any. They're just not moving forward. They're not growing or going down. But the thing is, if you're plateaued, guess what? 3 years down the road, everybody's 3 years older. Then 5 years older, 10 years older, a few people pass away. And next thing you know, within 20 years, you're down to 10 people in a church wanting to know, do you really want the church doors to stay open? Listen, Satan doesn't care if it's going to take him 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, or 15 years. If he can get that church not to grow, he knows it's going to close. I don't know. So I'm just saying there is a struggle. And he says, and about that time there arose a great commotion about the way. That's the believers. That's the believers group there. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines to a god, to a goddess named Diana. And Diana brought no small profit to the craftsmen, which means a lot of people worshiped Diana. And they gave a lot of fun. They gave a lot of money for these silver shrines of the goddess Diana. And it says, he called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. This is how we make our money. We make our money by making these gods. He says, moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul... Now, Paul would not have been in anybody's lips except for what Paul's doing is growing. He says, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying they are not gods which are made with hands. So not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into destitute, but into the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised, and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. We have a battle of gods now. One's real, one's not. We have God, Jesus Christ, and now we have the world. Because people outside of the Jews, very few worship God. They worship gods, little g's, and idols. And we don't really comprehend a lot of that because we don't have totem. We don't have all these idols in our corners of our homes. Some people do. But most of us were not raised that way, okay? But I did landscaping for a while. You know how many, I have to be careful how I say this, you know how many Catholic saints that I dug up on the corners of landscape? Because they would bury these in the corners, and they believe these saints, and no one was going to protect their home. The Bible says, do not make any graven image. Do not make any graven image. We don't worship. I don't put my faith in that. That wood right there. It is a remembrance to me of what Christ did, but I put no faith in that structure right there. I put no faith in that structure. but I put faith in what it resembles, but I don't put my faith in that structure. But that's what they did. They made trinkets and these things with Diana. And they began to build this up, and they were angry because Paul and the Christians were moving forward. Now when they heard this, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of Ephesus, of the Ephesians. Great is Diana of the Ephesians." So the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater with one accord, seizing Gaius and Antiochus, Macedonians, and the ones that Paul traveled with. And when Paul wanted to go into the people, the disciples would not allow him. This is getting out of control. This is getting out of control. Listen, people are in a place and it's getting out of control, but I want to tell you, it's not just people there. There's demonic there. The Holy Spirit is there. And we need to make sure you know who you serve. You need to make sure you know whose side you're on and what side they're on. You need to make sure that you're just not walking in a faith and something you believe that you did when you were 12 years old and you're not doing nothing with it right now. So then some of the officials of Asia who were his friends sent him and pleading that he would not venture into the theater. Paul, you're not going in there. They're going to tear you up. You're not going in there. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused. Here it is. The assembly was confused, and most of them did not know why they had come together. I think that is like Ferguson. People gathered. Some gathered there for a purpose. Others just came in to get involved in the chaos. That's just not only there. It's all across our country. People do it down at Congress. They do it at the White House. They do it all over the place. They do this all the time. And they don't even know, many of them don't even know why they've gathered together. Do you know why you're here tonight? You need to know why you show up to places. You need to know that. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, and the Jews putting him forward. Alexander, this leader, motioned with his hands and wanted to make a defense to the people. He wanted to talk with the people. But when they found out that he was a Jew, this is important. They found out he was Jew, all of with one voice cried out, "For 2 hours, great is Diana of the Ephesians." For 2 hours, that's all he said. Great, great, great is Diana, goddess of the Ephesians. Bible says some of them didn't even know why they were there, but when they found out he was a Jew, they just started shouting. You put people can get together, and when there's a Christian involved, and everyone is, people, all of a sudden, hatred draws right to that person. Why is that? Because demonic is involved. It's not because of who you are. It's who's inside of you. It's what you're trying to do. It says here, when the city clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, "Men of Ephesus, what man is there who does not know that this city of the Ephesians is the temple guardian of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Zeus?" They said he fell down from Zeus. People believe that. Satan doesn't care what you believe. You can believe in the Big Bang. You can believe in Zeus. You can believe in marbles. You can believe in Buddha. You can believe in Hinduism. You can believe in some statue over there. He doesn't care diddly. He doesn't care. As long as you don't believe in Jesus Christ. Because nothing and no one can change a life except Jesus Christ. Nothing can forgive sins except the shedding of blood. And that is what Jesus Christ did on the cross. There's going to come a time. It's going to come a time, and we read it in the end times, whether we're here or not, that people are going to become confused. And the Bible says that one of the Holy Spirit, even the best believers, would be confused. There's going to come a time when there's going to be, your faith is going to be tested. Your faith is going to be tested. And it needs to be tested to know how strong it is, to know where you grow in those areas. Therefore, since things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly, for then they got all the people, and basically, but He just shut it all down and said this. He said, "For we are in danger of being called into question for today's uproar." They called it an uproar. "There being no reason which we have reason or an account for us to be assembled together today." You know, there's a lot of groups that are assembling themselves together. Satanists, where Satanists is able to come into the hall of a government agency, a state capital, to pray. And giving authority to do that. Now, does most of the state people, officials, get up and leave? Yep, they get up and leave, and then they come back, but some stay. And this is all hell Satan. You talk to the patriarchs and the monarchs of the United States that are no longer with us. They would be like, "Whoa, never thought that was going to happen in the United States." But we act like it's okay. We don't get upset about it. We don't get concerned about that. But they're doing that. You know, you can go online and you can look up the satanic coloring book. You know, there's a satanic coloring book for kids. I've seen it. It makes it really kind of, they want to make it really cute and really adorable. And you see Satan there with two little kids. And then you see him going through and with the skeleton and doing all these things. And just trying to make it real cute to be colored. And it's this, yeah. It's a coloring book given out in Florida. And that turns my stomach because I'm thinking it's given out to kids and children. We're struggling in our country. It's easier to live the sinful life than it is the Christian life. For example, two people are together. When they have a baby outside of wedlock, their boyfriend and girlfriend, they're saying, "Okay, we want to get married, but I can't do that now because, listen, hon, I want to marry you, but I can't because I need the insurance for the baby. Because you work, and really, you work, then we don't make enough money to pay for the insurance that we need. Because if we do, and something happens, we're going to be bankrupt the first time something happens. So let's just choose to live together. We believe in God. We'll try to do our best, but this is what we got to do." And even in this church, we had a couple that divorced because they wanted to both be on disability, and they both got on disability. They couldn't make it on one disability check, so they got a divorce. And so they both could get on disability, and they did. And they asked me, "Do I agree with that?" I said, "No, I don't. I'm sorry, but it's hard. Life is hard. And just because it makes it easier for you doesn't mean that it's right. And that God says, okay, I'm going to give you a pass, but everybody else doesn't get that pass." No. God loves us. He's not going to treat anybody better than anyone else. Now, you can be blessed different than others. But I want to tell you, this crowd, sometimes they've been on both sides of the track. Just like those when Jesus was coming in to Jerusalem. Hosanna, fig leaves, here's the King of the Jews. Great, awesome, yes, he's coming in. Next thing you know, crucify. People change. Just like people change football teams, I only go for the winning team. I want you to know that church gets messy. Church gets difficult. Lives get difficult because we are trying to live the life that God's called us to. And the world will shift some things to make it try to be easier for you. It doesn't care about the rights and wrongs as long as your needs are met. And our country is really going in that direction. And it's not biblical. And then you see the good things like Kentucky, yes, bring your Bible to school and teach you the Bible. How they're going to do that, I think that's great. I don't know how they're going to do that, but that's what they're going to do. I love it when some of the states just stand up for God. Now, are they going to get harassed and they're going to get persecuted for that? Oh, yeah, they're going to. Anytime you are doing what God has called you to do and you're running in that realm, you're going to get dinged up a few times. If you're in the race, you're going to get dinged up a few times. I'm a NASCAR fan. You can't go and finish the race. And if you finish the race, and you especially, you get first place, listen, your car is going to be a little scuffed. Because other people are trying to pass you up. And Satan's trying to knock you out. They're trying to knock you out of the race. And Paul talks about that. But here in this, Paul is finding just in one chapter, we see a group that's fighting and splitting and up, and Paul has to move. He moves to another place. We see people messing around with the demonic that shouldn't be messing around at all. And we see this group of crowd that comes through and tries to up and overthrow the church. But we also see good things, the miracles that are happening, that Paul is doing. The church is exploding, and they can't stop the church, and there's people getting saved, and good things are happening, and people are being baptized, and this is what's making the dark side not like it, and it keeps fighting back more and more and more. What would be greater for New Life? For New Life to explode and have 200 or 300 people here every Sunday, would that be exciting? For some of you, would that be exciting? Or what if we stayed small and God used our small church to, when people came in from outside and said, why are we not doing something? I can't believe a small church is doing what they're doing, and go back to their church and work some things around and start doing some things that they weren't doing before. Because they said, if that small church can do something, then we need to get with God and say, God, what do you want us to do? It's not a boasting on us. It's a boasting on what God can do. And that's exactly what he's doing. That's exactly what he did out of Hobart about 5 years ago. Hobart came in and said, pastor came in, he's a good friend of mine, and said, I can't believe you guys are sitting around, like we were around that time, about 70, 75 people. And said, oh my gosh, I can't believe you guys are doing this. And I've got 250 people. So he goes back, gets his church in a big uproar in a positive way, and they go out and start 5 churches in 1 year. And 4 of those churches are still running today. Right now, I was on the phone with Mississippi this morning, and they continue to come in, and they took it, and somebody gave them the floor of a big mission in the state of Mississippi, the missions group in the northeast part of Mississippi, where some big churches are, and they know who we are now. They've shared that and said, what do you mean that, sir? So there is some that's thinking about getting on an airplane and flying up here because they said, I got to see it to believe it. And if that happens, I got to come back down here and I got to figure this out. Because if a small church can do those things, what are we trying? What are we doing? And even with Florida, they came up this summer and they begin to look and see, what is the church doing? And they said, how are you guys? I got phone calls afterwards, and it's like, I don't know. I don't understand. I got a million questions and they're not getting answered. I don't know how a church your size can do what you're doing, and we struggle to do what we do. And we got a massive church. All I know is this, is what he said. All I know is this, we ought to be doing more. And we're going to be talking about doing more. And so those things are actually happening as we are having even service tonight. There's a lot of talk going around the country about who we are and what we're doing. Even in Florida, there is some chitter chatter about what's going on in Indiana, what's going on in Huntington. And now I know. I went and preached in an association, not our association, but another association called Miami Association, north of Indianapolis, around Kokomo. And there was somebody in that crowd, and he just kept shaking his head. He said, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. And he comes from Texas, big, large. Their association has over 400 churches, just their association. That's crazy. Our state is 440. This is just association. And they're like, this doesn't make any sense. So I'm telling you, it's not about how big you are. It's about how big God is and you allow him to serve, not just in the church, but in your life and in your ministry. And this is what was happening with Paul. Paul didn't have a large crowd. He was doing things, and the dark side was offensive and offended by it. And we need to be careful, because there'll be some people will come in here and try to become offensive. They'll come in and they'll try to divide, and they'll try to get others to get hardened hearts, and they'll come in to come in and start gossips and drama, and we got to make sure that we stand strong and we stand up to it and say, no, listen, I love my church. Don't talk about my church. Don't talk about my worship leader. Don't talk about my Sunday school teacher. Don't talk about my family here. I love my family, my whole church. Don't talk about this. But yeah, that person's messed up, but haven't you? Be positive. Be encouraging. Because crowds, if you let them, they'll get big, and they'll get big because they want to. Listen, the darkness wants to snuff us out. It really does. Some reason, right now, we are going, as Ben has brought this to my attention, and it's true because I've thought about it as well. There are some spirit, there are some, not so much on the spiritual end, but on the physical end, there are a lot of things happening to a lot of people in this church in the last few months. A lot of people. A lot of people. Some very big and others not so big, but it was big enough to disrupt their life for a while. And some are scares, like with Alex today. It was just a scare, but it was there. To get your mind off of the things that God wants you to be on. He's going to work those things because Satan's not interested in the church. A 500-member church, he's not impressed. He's not threatened until that church realizes who and what they are in God. The masses never threaten the dark side. Because one person praying to the Spirit, that's a threat. One person sharing the gospel is a threat. We know this. We know this is true in fact. That some people don't believe it, but there's a witchcraft. There are witches in this neighborhood. There is darkness in this neighborhood. What did we say last Sunday? We ain't moving. We're still open. The door's going to keep open. We're going to keep the lights on. We're going to stay focused. We're not moving. So there's a push in the war. But there's something about right now that I feel like God has given us a big open lane. Momentum. Spiritual momentum. And we need to pray that we can continue to know what we are supposed to do with this momentum. Amen? Listen, there's going to be people that's going to spring up and say, hey, this is not what we want in our community. This is not what we need. No. We need to do what God's called us to do. And we all need to grow in our walk because our faith is going to be tested and we know that problems are going to happen. I have a couple of things real quick. We've got to stay faithful to God. That's number one. We've got to stay faithful to God because problems are going to arise in the church and you must stay faithful to God. Number one, okay? Number two, you got to stay faithful to the church. You don't just pack your bags up and leave, okay? That's exactly, you're doing exactly what the darkness wants, okay? Number three, you got to be strong in it. You got to be strong. Not time to be weak, you got to be strong, okay? And the fourth thing is, be a Christian, which means be Christ-like. It's very simple, be the Christian that you claim to be. Be Christ-like. And the crowds and what people do and say, you'll see right through it. Because the Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. That means by what they do. Okay? There's been two people we had to toss out of this church. Two people. One playing games, one going to mess around. One going to mess around with it. Two times. Still, yeah, there are a couple people saying, you can't do that in the church. Yes, you can. And I'm going to. And I would expect any strong leader to step up and take care of some business once in a while. We have to. But the things that those two individuals were doing was definitely not godly. It was definitely evil. And it was definitely wrong. And you just can't. Sometimes, you can love people. You're supposed to love people. But sometimes you got to take care of business. Do it in love, but you got to take care of business. Amen? We've had that. We've had people that come into this church and said, I don't think she's a pastor's wife. Had to come in people in church. I don't think your deacons are doing a good job. You're not going to make it. Your music is old. You're not going to make it because your music and your worship is stale and old. You need this. You need that. You need this. You know what all those statements did? They were just all discouraging. They didn't lift up the church. They tore the church down. And they tore people down. That's not what God is about, is he? Not at all. Not at all. Acts chapter 19 is about being strong, staying focused in Jesus Christ. Regardless of what kind of storm you're going through, you got to be strong. You've got to be that Christian. When the crowd gets loud, they got a louder voice than you physically. But know this, your prayers are stronger than any voice, all the voices together. Amen? I love it that God is not moved by crowds, but moved by the hearts of his people. If God was moved by people, there would have never been a flood. There would have never been a flood. But because God loves people, he saved a few. Amen? Never be impressed by the numbers, but be impressed by who he is. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand.